I'm Beth Perel. I'm going to be talking now to Emily Hanna. She's executive director of Bike Walk Central Florida. We're going to be talking about Dangerous by Design 2021, a report that talks about how dangerous it is to be a pedestrian in this area. Emily, thank you for joining me. This report has not always been a good report for our area here in Central Florida. This year, no different, though there may be a little bit of improvement we can talk about, but why don't you, from your view, go ahead and give us the key points from the report as relates to the Orlando area.
Absolutely. Well, first, Beth, thank you for having me today to talk about this issue. As you stated in last week, the Dangerous by Design report was released, and it did indicate that the Orlando-Kissimmee-Sanford metropolitan region is still number one on that list. So we are, unfortunately, the most dangerous for pedestrians for our metro region. However, there was good news that came out of that report. It showed that out of 100 metro regions that this national nonprofit organization looks at, they 84 out of 100 of those regions actually got worse over the last 2 years from their last study in 2019. But the Orlando metro area was not one of them. We were actually one of the most improved regions in the country for their pedestrian danger index, which is the calculation and the methodology behind how they get to the report and the standings in that report. So there is positive news. We are moving, we feel, in the right direction. So that would be one positive that I think comes out of the report. Additionally, we are aware that we are number one and we've been number one before. And I think that's just something that adds fuel to the fire, if you will, and tells us that we still need to continue our efforts, though we are on the right track, or at least we think that we are.
In terms of being on the right track, though, do you think it was something that we've done differently that has made the difference in terms of maybe structure or process? Or maybe because of the pandemic, people were just out and about less?
good question. So I'll start with the beginning part and kind of touch on the pandemic towards the end. So we are heading in the right direction. And part of that has to do with the not so much new structure, but the new goal that local governments and our region has about putting safety first instead of moving cars as fast as we can through our community. We realize now that we can't do both. We can't get people from point A to point B in a speedy manner, but we can also do safety while we're doing that. One of those has to become a priority. And so all of our partners and the metro region have pushed for safety to be that priority. And I think that we've now had a lot of conversations internally with our local government partners that are starting to take this issue seriously. Not that they didn't before, but we have more resources, we have more information, we're working more as a coalition, which I can speak about that later. But we're moving in the right direction. We're having the conversation with the people that we need to have the conversation with. And I think the media and the Dangerous by Design report helps enlighten us that we need to be putting safety first. And that's clear in this report. Speaking on the pandemic side, what we found is that during the pandemic, a lot of obviously the congestion that we saw on the streets, the traffic trips reduced significantly. And in that, people started to recreationally ride their bike or walk in their community more on trails as a source of them getting out of their house, as a means of travel as well. Some people didn't feel comfortable taking transit, so they opted on bike or on foot to do that. So we saw an increase in the number of people traveling on various different modes. And because of that, we saw an increase in conflict between cyclists and pedestrians and cars. Unfortunately, when you reduce congestion and we've got roads built with multiple lanes that are very wide with high speeds, it almost warrants and welcomes drivers speeding. And so what we saw is an increase in speeding during the beginning of the pandemic, which ultimately, when you have a conflict with car and a pedestrian and there's involved, the likelihood of that pedestrian being fatally struck gets much, much higher. And so we saw that while the crashes in the statistics have decreased significantly in 2020, the fatalities did not. So we still need to work on speeding on our major corridors, especially if we don't have congestion that the pandemic showed us.
So I want to ask you a couple of things about that. And there have been recently some of those pedestrian fatalities. And as you said, you know, with reduced traffic, we do expect it to be safer, but we do as human beings start to speed a little bit. Do you think though, the other side of it might be that because more people have been out biking, walking, that maybe down the line that will have increased awareness to when we are in the car, watch out for others?
Absolutely. I think drivers in our community realized that there were a lot more people out on the trails, especially at trail crossings, out in their communities, walking and biking, and also during kind of all hours of the day. Towards the fall last year, we have daylight savings. We just had daylight savings time as well. So the time change affects when people walk and bike, and oftentimes when they're commuting as well, that doesn't change. So drivers that are driving at nighttime need to be more aware that it's still the same hour of the day that pedestrian or that cyclist might also be commuting to work, or they might be using the trail for recreation. So to circle back to kind of answer that, yes, I think that it helps, but I also think that both our pedestrians and our cyclists, because a lot of them are somewhat new to doing this type of activity since the pandemic, might not know how to cross the road safely, where to cross the road safely. And so part of what we do is not only educate the driver on those safety laws, but also try to educate the pedestrian and the cyclist on how to effectively and safely cross the road.
What's an example of something they're not doing safely that we could now put to rest?
On the pedestrian and cyclist standpoint, is oftentimes they don't wait for the walk hand sign to come up at a signalized intersection, or they don't necessarily push the button to cross the road, which gives the driver a signal that there's a pedestrian there that wants to cross. So we're trying to teach pedestrians and cyclists, you have to abide by the rules of the road, specifically for cyclists, and use the push buttons. That's there to save your life, and it's also there to educate and warn the drivers that there's a pedestrian that wants to cross the road.
Now, there are a lot of places without that push button too, and there are people wanting to cross the road and several lanes involved. So is that a situation where we're back to sort of infrastructure and maybe we need to put more of those in? But I would offer that if that is the case, it would take time. So what could we do in the immediate?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point, a great question. So there are often crosswalks that don't have that push button or any type of engineering improvement other than maybe signage and striping. And so just a reminder to people that do walk and bike to always look left, right, left before crossing the road. Obviously, that's a good point to consider anywhere you're at, even if you're in a driveway or a store, walking through a parking lot. You always want to be aware of your surroundings. So just reminding people of that. Also, wearing somewhat bright colors. Don't wear dark clothing at night if you're going to cycle. Make sure that you can be visible to drivers and to others. But also for drivers to be aware that pedestrians are going to be crossing. And where there are cross streets, drivers need to pay attention. They need to slow their speeds down, be aware that there could be a pedestrian crossing even without pushing the button. They don't necessarily have to, they're still legally allowed to cross the road. So I think, you know, it's twofold. We also need to have drivers be more aware of their surroundings. Stop texting and driving. Don't be serving the kids McDonald's in the back of the car. Be aware of where you're at. And then when you come to a safe place to stop your vehicle, then you can deal with the distractions in your car.
There's also, isn't there though, an attitude at play that there's sort of competition of, I want to get my 10 seconds ahead when that light changes. And of course the cyclist wants to cross. So we're all kind of trying to beat each other.
Well, and there's a we have something called signal timing. So you have to wait often at signalized intersections or crossings to cross the road safely and or drive your car through that intersection safely. And so that timing is always being looked at by our partners who manage that and to make sure that we are getting the pedestrian across the road at a faster time and still allowing the flow of traffic to continue. But ultimately, as a reminder to drivers and pedestrians, specifically drivers, that a pedestrian and or cyclist is on foot and on their bike. And so the longer that they have to wait if they're doing it for health purposes, right? They are exercising, then you don't necessarily want to stop them from continuing their exercise, right? They've got to wait often 3 to 4 minutes from continuing, or 2 to 3 minutes, whatever that might be. A driver in a vehicle has an air-conditioned 2,000-pound car wrapped around them that has an entertainment system. They've got leather seats and air conditioning and things like that. So be cognizant, too, of you can wait. You've got a few seconds. And of course, if you don't wait, it could be fatal or deadly for you or for someone else.
Now, I want to circle back to the report, Dangerous by Design. You were pointing out that we haven't gotten worse, and that's a good sign. And so taking that information and moving forward over the next year, what do we need to do? What needs to happen in our communities?
Great question. So with the Dangerous by Design report saying that we're improving, we realize that we are doing some things right. And so we hope to continue and to move the needle forward, moving with our partners. And doing so, we do that through the organization that I work for, Bike Walk Central Florida, is a nonprofit advocacy organization that administers a program called Best Foot Forward. And the program has a coalition of partners from Orange, Osceola, and Seminole counties that work towards pedestrian safety. And we do so by educating the driver and the pedestrian on our driver yield laws and when it's when you're legal and illegal to cross the road and where that happens. We also conduct high visibility enforcement operations, meaning that we go out and we send a plainclothes officer to cross the road and pull people over and warn and ticket them if they do not yield to a pedestrian, because it is Florida law. You have to yield and or stop to a pedestrian in a crosswalk. And then we also work with our local partners to advocate for those engineering changes, as you mentioned. So looking at striping, is it faded at the crosswalk? Can you see it clearly as a driver? Looking at signage, is the signage appropriate for that crossing? Is it a school crossing or is it a trail crossing? When we also look at the opportunity to signalize some of these intersections, like the rectangular rapid flashing beacons, which you see often on the side of the road, where you push the button and the light flashes multiple times to get drivers' attention that there's someone there that wants to cross the road. So with that Best Foot Forward partner, there are coalition partners, and with that program, we feel like with that 3E approach that we are moving the needle. And our partners that are part of the program feel that same way. In addition, a lot of our partners like the City of Orlando are going above and beyond with their Vision Zero action plan, putting the high crash corridors and their high injury network corridors into under a microscope to really look at the data and where the crashes are occurring, how they're occurring, and then what type of countermeasures or safety improvements can we make to hopefully reduce the number of crashes and the number of injuries and fatalities to some of our most vulnerable road users. Seminole County is putting trails first by doing a trails master plan currently and looking where trails cross major roads and then how to get people from the trail across that road safely. And Orange County is doing the same thing. So again, our partners are putting pedestrian safety first and they are making that concerted effort. And then collectively as a region, we're doing that through the Best Foot Forward program.
Now, some of the areas where the pedestrians are crossing, maybe even at the trail areas, are just really complex, right? Mm-hmm. And nobody's really quite sure what the right thing to do is. What are some of those locations and what are some countermeasures?
Sure. So we are currently addressing several different trail crossings in Seminole County. Those trail crossings are now a part of the Best Foot Forward program. So we're using yield rate data to determine what the baseline is. So how many cars are yielding to the pedestrian at that specific crossing. We do that by collecting data and crossing the road multiple times to get the number of drivers that are yielding. And then we give that information to our partner and look at solutions across the county that have been implemented that have worked specifically within the Best Foot Forward program. But we also expand that viewpoint and look nationally to best practices and examples used in other regions. We also look to the federal government to provide the recommended safety improvements that we need to see at those specific intersections. A specific example I can give you is where the Seminole-Wakivik Trail crosses State Road 434 and 436. And that specific, there's two crosswalk intersections at that location that take a long time to cross those really wide 7-8 lane roads. And so we're looking at opportunities to create either a tunnel to continue that movement through safely and or a bridge at that location. Seminole County is working with their partners and along with the Best Foot Forward program to make that crossing safe for everyone. So if a school kid wants to ride the trail to school, they can do so without necessarily taking their life into their hands by crossing these major state roads, these major thoroughfares.
You know, obviously we're talking about this from the safety perspective, but the other part of it is the public health aspect of it, that we can get out and exercise safely.
Absolutely. And we encourage people not only just to exercise on their bike or by walking, but also think about the activities that you might be able to do from your home to, say, get groceries or to get dry cleaning or to go to the post office. A lot of these small trips we make are between 1 to 3 miles, and that is easily achievable on a bike or by walking. Hopefully your community is designed that way. If not, there at least should be sidewalks to get you to those locations. The more people that we get out that come out either recreationally and use it for exercise or use it to commute, obviously there are a multitude of health benefits that come out of that. And not only health benefits, but there are economic benefits from riding your bike and walking in your community. And there's also environmental benefits from doing it as well.
You know, I have to throw this out there because, you know, there are some people who are listening to us thinking, that's not the people who live here. It's all of the tourists. It's all of the grandmas coming down to visit. And they're the ones who are having the accidents. Do we know from the data that it is us that live here?
We do, and it is us. The percentage of tourists that are struck or killed and or are striking or killing pedestrians in the crosswalk is minor, very, very minimal. And so we realize that it's really our population. It's in areas that don't necessarily have great sidewalk infrastructure or streets designed for people to walk and bike. And so we really need to focus targeted efforts on some of those communities in need. And our partners are doing so right now.
The other thing that I'll throw out there is we also want to blame the other guy, right? And so one thing that you're making clear, it's not the drivers or the pedestrians or cyclists, it's all of them, right, that are a piece of this. And all of them can have something to do, such as you mentioned, wear the bright clothing if you're out walking or biking. So it's all of us, not just one or the other.
Absolutely. And as a reminder too, when we are a driver, when we get out of a car, we become a pedestrian. Our main point of travel is walking. We walk everywhere we need to go, except for when we need to drive or take transit or decide to ride our bike. But our first and foremost mode of transportation is walking. And so even as a driver, you're a pedestrian at some point. And even as a pedestrian, oftentimes you become a driver. So just remembering the different hats that you have to wear when operating a heavy machine and or walking in your community. It's great to be aware of your surroundings and be safe and have those kind of points in your mind. I will say that we have a lot of that information on our website for Bike Walk Central Florida, and then also the Best Foot Forward website, which is I Yield for Peds.
And tell me a little bit more now about the Best Foot Forward program and how people can, you know, access your expertise. I know they can go to the website, but what else can they do?
Absolutely. So the Best Foot Forward Coalition, like as I said, it does really looks at the pedestrian safety from the 3E lens, which is education, engineering, and enforcement. We take a fourth E approach and evaluate the data and evaluate all three E's to make sure that we're progressing towards a safer future for pedestrians and for others in our community. And so for those that are either have governments, live in a community that is involved with the Best Foot Forward program, let your elected officials know that you support the program and what Bike Walk is doing in the community. You can come out and join us for events. We have a lot of that on our Facebook and social media and also on the website. But ultimately, just supporting better infrastructure for pedestrians, going out and being a voice in your community and letting your elected officials and your leaders know that this is a priority for you, that you want your child to be able to walk and bike to school safely without taking their life into their hands. And I think the more voices that we have that push this message, I think the sooner we're going to see this change. So it does take all of us, just as I said about being a pedestrian and a driver, we all are pedestrians at some point. So we should all voice our want for this safer future in our community.
Not to go too far afield, but would you take a moment to talk about the options of trails and maybe that we should all give it a try to get out and get on a trail?
Absolutely. So I'll start north and kind of work south. So in Seminole County has some great trails. The Seminole Wakaiva Trail runs along the west side of the county, north and south. So up to Sanford, down through Altamont. And that trail is great for people that are looking to get kind of interested in cycling and walking. Also the Cross Seminole Trail, which kind of goes from Oviedo over to Sanford and the Lake Mary area, is also another great example of a signature trail. In Orange County, the West Orange Trail is a very popular destination trail. That trail specifically runs through downtown Winter Garden and has some great restaurants and dining and shops and things that really cater to a pedestrian and or cyclist. So I highly recommend that trail for those that are interested. There's also a brewery there, so you can get kind of a feel of what that culture and that community is. Then on the east side of Orange County, there's the Katy Way Trail and the Econ River Trail, which are smaller spurs that will eventually connect into Seminole County and eventually connect to the West Orange Trail. Orange County is currently undergoing a trails master plan to look at how those connections can be made in the future, especially as our region grows significantly in the next 10 years. And then south in Osceola County, our partners in Kissimmee and St. Cloud are doing some really great work on their trails throughout their cities. And there's a new Lakeshore Park Trail coming to St. Cloud. And Kissimmee is looking at expanding the Kissimmee Trail. And then in Osceola County, there's the Shingle Creek Trail, which connects to the Shingle Creek Trail in Orange County. And so that'll be a really nice regional trail when all the gaps are filled that residents can then go enjoy and kind of go cross county line. Another regional trail that we can't ignore is the Coast to Coast Trail. So this 250 linear mile trail will touch Titusville all the way to St. Petersburg. So you'll be able to go across the state on one system. And it's made up of multiple trails throughout the state that are connected and will have a regional type of wayfinding signage and you'll be able to go to different cities across Florida on your bike or by foot. So there's lots of great amenities and lots of great trails out in our community currently, and we're building more of them every year. So I highly recommend checking out our website for more information on where those trails are located. And then we also include videos of people using the trail. So where to go park, where are the kiosks, and how do you find more information? Kind of a how-to guide as to how to get the most out of your trail adventure.
All right, excellent. Thank you for sharing that. And it's simply what, bikewalkcf.org for Central Florida?
Bikewalkcentralflorida.org. So it's all spelled out.
Okay. Bikewalkcentralflorida.org. Emily, let me give you a few minutes to just sort of wrap everything up. And as a part of what you'd like to point out. Would you share with us what Bike Walk Central Florida is going to do as you evaluate the report that just came out, Dangerous by Design?
So the organization Bike Walk Central Florida looked at the Dangerous by Design report, and we weren't shocked that we're number one, but we were excited to see that we are moving the needle. And so the organization is moving forward with what we've currently got program-wise, which is the Best Foot Forward Coalition Safety Program for pedestrians. And then our other program is Bike Five Cities, and that is a 28-mile advocacy bike ride through the city of Orlando, Maitland, Winter Park, Eatonville, and Castleberry. And that'll take place October 30th this year. We are kicking off a special week in Florida called Mobility Week, where FDOT, Florida Department of Transportation, along with their partners throughout the state, come together to celebrate the different modes of transportation that we as citizens can take. That includes transit, walking and biking, micro mobility like scooters, and sharing options, also Uber and Lyft, those type of ride hailing programs, just trying to get others that the idea that you can get out of your car and you can take other modes of transportation, and it might make your day even better than what you would do normally just driving alone to work or to school. So we are constantly working on how to improve what we're trying to do in the community. And we are hoping that the next few years we can create some new programming that continues to educate and continues to advocate for safer streets for Central Florida.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate it. Emily Hanna is Executive Director of Bike Walk Central Florida. I'm Beth Perrell.